We are recording. Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Gen X Talk Podcast. I am Johnny Pendejo.
I'm Starchy Archie.
How's everybody doing? We are doing some sort of a hybrid kind of... I mean, I hate that word hybrid.
Like hybrid.
I can't stand
Prius-like?
It.
Prius-like?
What's that?
A Prius-like show.
Oh, good Lord. We're going to try to have some hard-boiled eggs and some bubbly seltzer water. And, we got some sriracha sauce, and we have some, let me just properly name these products here. Oh, this is the Huifeng Foods Incorporated from Irwindale, California, the sriracha hot chili sauce. And then we have the Beaver Brand Extra Hot Ghost Pepper Mustard.
Oh yeah, baby. Oh,
that's awesome. Can't wait to try that stuff. Yeah, we're sounding good.
Can't hear me showing over here?
What's that?
Can't hear me eating my egg, okay?
No, it's fine. If you, good. I mean, we're
gross.
Is it gross?
No, I'm just saying it would be.
All right, let's see, turn you up a little bit.
There's a lot of mastication sounds.
What does mastication mean?
Mastication's a fancy word for chewing.
Oh, it is? Jeez, that's cool. So how you doing?
It's good.
It's been a few weeks.
Yeah. You got the Rona. That'll be a big topic.
I got the, I work at a place that does regular, Rona testing, and I'm not going to divulge where I work, but, I tested positive and they sent me home for 10 days.
Yep. Standard protocol.
Yeah. So I've been home for 10 days and, hence the postings of this show on a Tuesday afternoon, and that's when I had time on my hands to do this, and I feel fine. I mean, yeah. I had a headache. Maybe it wasn't last weekend, but the weekend before when they had the Ryder Cup, I had a pretty good sized headache, and I think I had been struggling. It was weird to have those sort of symptoms during the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dealing with that. So I feel much better now.
Well, yeah, it's amazing how obviously it's killed hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's killed people younger than us, but most of them have been older than us.
Yeah.
So you can't really tell. I mean, it's really weird.
Yeah, it is. It is weird. I mean, I kind of don't know what the big fuss is about, kind of.
Well, I think outside of the older people, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely, you look at hospitalizations and deaths.
Yeah.
You can always find a story of someone who's young.
Yeah.
But the actual deaths are like 65 and above,
mm-hmm.
like almost exclusively.
Yeah.
And almost exclusively some other serious comorbidity, like diabetes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel fine. We walked earlier this morning. I do have a little bit of sort of a autumn seasonal sort of, what do you call it? An allergic
drainage.
allergic kind of cough because the leaves are turning.
I've had something like that too. Like I woke up the other day and I was like,
yeah,
like that old man death rattle. Like,
yeah. Like the cigar smoking kind
exactly.
of feeling. But you know, I it was nice to stay home. I did sleep a little bit. I did sleep a bit much. I was a bit tired, and I guess there's that part of it too where
your body's fighting it off. Right,
yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. I drank more orange juice. You know, stayed away from people and that sort of thing.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Back, baby.
And we went to an event. We went to two events yesterday that were fun and had a good time. We're going to go some more next weekend. It's going to be cool.
Awesome.
And you and I are going to go someplace. Hopefully next weekend in the evening on the Saturday evening. Correct. So interesting stuff. So how are you? How was the 49er game?
Oh, disappointing.
Really?
Disappointing, yeah.
Mm.
I went, we tailgated. It was a bunch of guys from work, great guys.
Mm, mm, mm.
And get there, into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Niners are getting beat up pretty bad in the first half.
Mm.
And then they turn it on.
Mm. They turn what on?
They turn it on. Just the offense, defense, clamped down. It was great. And then, it's 27-23?
Mm,
no, 28-27.
Oh, man.
Hey, the Niners are going to do this. But then they left too much time on.
Yeah.
For Roger the Dodger.
Oh yeah.
Who I loathe.
Mm.
I loathe Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
Loathe.
Why do you hate him?
I have no reason to. It's when you hate somebody on TV or whatever, it's you hate an image, a persona. It's like, I don't know him.
Didn't he host Jeopardy or something?
Yeah.
He did? Really? I didn't know that.
So,
oh my God, that's hot.
Oh, dude,
I just had the ghost pepper mustard. Holy smokes.
You see my head? I'm like,
are you sweating? Maybe that'll fight something off too.
Oh man, that'll kill anything that's inside of you. Absolutely, seek and destroy mission.
There you go.
Right now.
Final little jolt.
I swear by garlic.
Oh, you do? Really?
Just raw garlic. Just munch something. It burns, right? You gotta be careful, but it has definitely got some antiviral properties going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I start I'm getting a cold, I'll eat. Sometimes I'll eat a whole head of garlic.
Really?
At least three or four cloves.
Whoa! Nice.
My wife hates it because then it comes out your pores.
Oh, it does. Wow.
You eat too much garlic, you smell like garlic.
Wow. Well, that's not a bad thing. Garlic smells nice, doesn't it?
I love it. I love it. My wife is not too thrilled with that.
Really?
But, anyways, Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
Yeah, they asked me, said, are you sorry that the 49ers didn't draft you? And he's like, not as sorry as they're going to be.
Mm.
But they didn't draft me. And I just always thought he was punk.
Oh,
and,
really?
I don't know what the deal is. He's estranged from his family, which I find.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe his family's a bunch of psychos and he's just really.
So he's kind of like a Patrick Reed kind of figure.
Oh, who's that?
Patrick Reed's a golfer that won the Masters that wanted his family banned from the grounds.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess they either they lived in Augusta, Georgia, or lived in Georgia sort of proper. And Patrick Reed is known as kind of a cheater on the professional golf tour.
Oh, wow.
And it's sort of a bad sort of persona that he has. And he wasn't at this year's Ryder Cup because he had pneumonia or something. But that whole estrangement from the family stuff is interesting because I see that exhibited with him because it's like if you're going to win a golf tournament, wouldn't you want your family there or at least let them support you if you're not with them a whole lot?
It's weird. I mean, I know people have all kinds of reasons. People are estranged from their parents because there's abusive situations or they try to take advantage of you or whatever. Just generally unhealthy people.
Well, heck, I'm dealing with that too.
Yeah. I mean, not getting into it, I know there are situations with I've got close friends.
Mm-hmm.
We were going through that family, family members.
Yeah.
Who are another branch of the family and they don't deal with them, whatever. And it's like, okay, I get it. But
yeah,
it's sad to see.
Yeah, it is.
And then, he just comes across, Aaron Rodgers, back to him, he just comes across as supremely arrogant.
Really?
He doesn't come across as having humility.
Oh.
And that, to me, is the number one.
Mm.
I can't stand somebody who's not humble.
Yeah.
And the more powerful
especially you nowadays.
Are, yeah. To me, the more powerful you are, the more wealthy, the more whatever, you should be that much more humble.
Yeah.
Because You just come across as a jerk if you're not.
There's a few people that come to mind when you talk about not being humble that just I could rattle off right now. But I mean, not to distract you from what you're talking about. But isn't he in some sort of contract dispute with the Packers?
I think this is his last. He had 1 year left or
yeah,
whatever, and he was holding out, holding his breath, and wasn't going to play, and now he is. I think he was trying to get them to be more serious about the offense because they weren't giving him enough tools.
Oh.
So,
interesting.
Whatever. And it's all super silly. We were talking about just the ridiculousness of it all. Like, go to the game, like a beer is $15. It's just...
Yeah. And how much was parking?
I was like $50, I think.
$50 for parking. Good.
I think it was 50. It might have been 75.
You said, I thought you said 75. Oh,
it might have been 75. It's 50 to 75, somewhere in there. Because, like, you know, pitching together. I don't know what the
fuck. Oh, yeah, because you're bringing other people to the game.
Oh, yeah.
So, but... And I love... I mean, I'm going to go over my cousins later, watch the game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun. I love the sport.
Yeah.
And I love it when your team's really good and there's another team that's really good. I like a rivalry, like
yeah,
the 49ers and Cowboys back in the 90s.
Yeah.
The 49ers and Rams kind of have a decent one. The 49ers and Seahawks, although there have only been a few seasons. It's been forever since the Niners and Rams were both good at the same time. That was like the 80s.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because each time one of them's gone up, the other one's gone down. So yeah. The Niners were dominant in the early part of the 90s against the Rams.
Yeah.
The Rams used to hold their own against them in the 80s. They did a lot better.
Yeah.
And then the Niners were so dominant until like 1999. And then the Rams were dominant for like a decade.
And they were that was when they were in St. Louis, right?
Yeah. Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Mike March was their offensive coordinator, then their head coach.
Wow.
Dick Vermeil.
Oh, God, Dick Vermeil. Yeah, Dick he's Vermeil. From Napa.
Yeah.
I heard, you know, I saw him being interviewed on something, and it was my, and they, and I guess my, a professor, a teacher that I had at American River College, his name was Robert Christofferson. And he was the cultural geography teacher, and he inspired me to listen to Rush Limbaugh because he was always trashing Rush Limbaugh during the class. Oh. But I saw him in a video, and they were interviewing Dick Vermeil, and this guy, that's my professor from that school.
Yeah.
And so Dick Vermeil is known for being really emotional.
Oh, yeah.
When he coached the Eagles and
coached the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams.
And then he coached the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Really? Was that when Montana was there?
No, no, no. I think Marty Schottenheimer was there.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was Marty Schottenheimer.
Wow, Schottenheimer.
Schottenheimer is, I don't know if he still is, but he was the coach with the most wins.
Yeah.
Most wins without a Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah.
He was a very good defensive coordinator.
Wow.
Just could not get across the goal to the big game.
Wow. Didn't he coach the Chargers at one time?
He coached the Chargers. He came, he was, I believe it was, Browns, Chiefs, Chargers.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. Wow. Wow.
And he did well with each of them.
Yeah, he did.
He just never... Had some amazing seasons. Could never go. I wasn't in the cards for him.
Wow.
He passed away not too long
ago. I heard he passed away. Yeah. Wow. Now wasn't Aaron Rodgers dating like Danica Patrick or something?
Probably. He's. I mean, he's another guy. His the many loves of Aaron Rodgers is kind of a thing, right? Like.
Okay. Okay.
He was with that chick was in some one of the X-Men. Movies.
Oh, really?
She was cute. He's with, what's her name? She's got
Charlize Theron?
Not Charlize Theron, but it's like one of those, like, Shailene Woodley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's a little bit younger than him.
Country music star, maybe?
Yeah.
Sensation?
No, no, no. She's, I think she did like some teen action movie type.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know if it was a Maze Runner or Divergent might have been it. Divergent, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Some, you know. Like they spent like a lot. Like it seemed like in the 2010s, late 2000s, they made like a ton of like sci-fi type movies out of young adult novels.
Books. Okay, okay.
The Giver, Ender's Game.
Oh, yeah.
The Maze Runner.
Okay. Is that what Hunger Games came from?
Hunger Games.
Oh, okay. Like Harry Potter and stuff.
Hunger Games really, I think, kind of kicked it all.
Oh.
Kicked it all off.
Action. Wow. Wow.
Action, teenage melodrama.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Divergent. Yeah.
Wow. So. Interesting. Well, that's cool. So the Niners lost.
The Niners lost. Had a good. It's still fun. Like I said, you go for the spectacle.
You're the spectacle, there with right?
70,000 people screaming.
Now
their
was
heads
it a,
off.
Was it a sold out game?
Yeah, it was. It was packed house.
Okay,
packed house.
Okay.
And
Sunday night game on NBC prime time.
Prime time.
Yeah, I was watching it in the Vietnamese restaurant when I had some pho. Yeah.
I love me some pho.
Yeah, I love that. I've had it the last couple days. I actually had it. I had it on Friday, and then I had it yesterday with Mr. Producer, and it was really, really good.
Gosh, I could eat. Pho is one of those. Eat it every day.
Yeah, I know.
Eat it every day. Pho, burritos.
Yeah.
Top five food that you eat every day. I'll go first. chicken tikka masala.
Mm.
Burritos.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Pho. I'm going to need some fiber in there somewhere, aren't
I?
I don't think there's much fiber in my diet. What's my...
like talking about rice or something?
No, well, rice has got no fiber, man.
Oh, that's the rice noodles.
Maybe I'll throw some oatmeal in there and get me some fiber.
Oh, okay.
Because that'll be pretty backed up.
Yeah, I haven't...
Top five.
I haven't had...
Oh, burritos. Burritos can have beans or anything. So,
Beans in them.
What do I have? A pho, tikka masala, pizza, burritos, and...
Chicken and waffles?
Oh, chicken and waffles might make the top 10. You know what? You know how I'm going to get around that?
What?
Sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
Boom. Chicken and waffle sandwich.
There you go.
Can be a type of sandwich, but it's got to be a sandwich.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I could put a vegetable in there if I needed one.
Yeah. I think for me... Desperate. Sorry, what was that?
Slice up a vegetable and put it in there if I got desperate.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like I'm because this is you're restricted to eating these five things.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, pho is on is like top three right now. And it's amazing the effort that it takes for them to make it. Because I guess they make the broth. It takes them 8 hours to make the broth. And then they make the noodles are separate in a separate sort of pot.
Yeah.
And then they pour the broth in the bowl. And they add the noodles and the meats and the vegetables and stuff like that. And then, it's just great.
You get the kind with the meatball in it, don't you? You get a meatball, don't you?
Okay. I got the meatball in it yesterday, and I actually had extra noodles in it yesterday, which I won't get that next time.
Yeah.
Too noodly. I mean, my Mr. Producer didn't finish his bowl of pho, and I had to finish most of it for him. So I had like one
Come
and
on,
a
Mr.
half
Producer.
Bowls. Yeah, I know.
This generation of kids not holding down their pho.
I know.
I'm telling you, damn it, we're going down the toilet.
And we, and he had like three little donut holes yesterday at the event we went to yesterday morning. And you know, that's what lasted him.
Do you like is it Gulab Jamun?
Gulab Jamun.
Gulab Jamun?
Is that French?
Indian? No, it's Indian. It's like one of the sweet, like the Indian sweets. Like and it's that thing. It looks. Who's calling me?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness. We'll see if we got.
Hello, who we got here?
Oh, that's my friend. He's going to have to wait.
Hello.
No, but it looks like a donut hole made out of pancake batter.
Oh,
and
really?
It's soaked in syrup, and it is the sweetest, densest, just...
Oh.
Dude, like, seriously, your blood sugar spikes just looking at it. It's like too much. I used to work with this guy, and like, he would just,
I can't
like,
eat that.
Like a bowl full of them. Just like,
oh my gosh.
Your pancreas, dude, is like, you're killing it.
Good Lord.
Pancreatic overtime.
Mm. anything that's too sweet like that, and especially nowadays when things are being sweetened by the high fructose corn syrup.
Corn syrup.
The corn syrup.
Big corn.
Yeah, big corn. I mean, I'm trying not to drink as much soda as I used to, and I have to water it down with like a seltzer drink. I do half and half. And what's cool, I guess, now is that they have those little half cans of soda. It's not the full 12 ounce.
Yeah, yeah, like the mixer ones.
Yeah, the mixer ones. You can get like a 6 ounce can.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It sort of hits the spot in the moment, but it's better than drinking the 12 ounce can.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean,
it really is a lot now.
Think about the McDonald's cups when we were kids, going back to their generic stuff. Like, McDonald's cup, like a small was like 8 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
It was small.
Yeah.
And then like a medium was 12 and a large was a pint.
Yeah.
It was like 16 ounces, maybe 20.
Yeah.
And now everything's crazy. Like, brr, mega, mega.
And then there's a guy that made the documentary. He said, "Supersize Me."
Yeah, Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, I guess he. I saw that years ago, and it was just like, man. Remember, they had the phrase was "go large" or "supersize me."
Yeah, supersize me. And like, if you didn't supersize, if they didn't say "supersize me,"
yeah,
you could get your meal for free.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
You didn't say supersize me. Like, literally, they Mark were supersizing Floyd. America. Literally. Oh. Like,
that's how we all got fat, you know?
Yeah, there's like, if Americans, if we started eating right.
Yeah.
It would, you know, a million people would lose their jobs. For
oh,
sure.
Oh, my right? God,
like,
yeah.
Like, we're making that many less Doritos.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, I even watched a Saturday Night Live bit last week where they had a sort of Japanese version McLaughlin group, and it was Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, and I think there's another. Oh, Rob Schneider was in it as well. Oh, and Phil Hartman, and they were doing sort of a Japanese style McLaughlin group. It's like, why are Americans so fat? Because they eat nothing but hamburgers and French fries. And if they ate more fish and more rice, they wouldn't be so fat. And it was somewhat sort of derogatory to the Japanese culture, but at the time they could do that, and it was no big deal. But now it'd just be like, oh, geez, you can't really do that.
It's
but yeah.
I watched Dave Chappelle's.
Oh, you did
latest special.
Oh, I haven't. I've been hearing about it.
It's good. I'm torn because I don't really like vulgarity. Mm. I guess I'm kind of like an old lady that way.
Okay.
It doesn't add a lot for me, but I tolerate it quite a bit. And I, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm walking around the house barefoot and catch my pinky toe on the edge of the bed or whatever, like the edge of the coffee. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I don't like overly vulgar and crude. Like, I don't sexually annoying to myself. Once in a while, it's... If it's truly like I like the way Norm Macdonald do it, like we're like, well, sometimes he's just like so over the top with it, or kind of like hinting around about it. It's okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
But anyways, he's just kind of he obviously kind of blasts everybody,
really,
and in all of his comedy, but he was kind of going in one direction in this particular one. I won't go into it, but
right.
Yeah, It's a problem if we can't laugh at each other and at ourselves.
Yeah.
We're kind of with each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I guess there are people who take that seriously, and it's like, well, now I want to go beat a Japanese person up because of Saturday Night Live. But
wait, what?
But really, how many are there?
Mm-hmm.
Those are those same people who, you know, they want to. They're the ones like, we got to ban the violence in the cartoons.
Oh.
Right? Like, oh my.
The Marge Simpsons.
Bugs Bunny
is
like, you know, hit Daffy Duck over the head with a frying pan. We can't have that. Kids will be just frying pan madness.
Yeah. Well, that's right? What Mr. Rogers was saying. Mr. Rogers, his whole point was, let's not beat each other up. Let's have fun with each other.
Yeah.
And sort of appreciate our connectiveness as human beings.
Yeah, and I think and I used to when I was a young man, I was like, "Ah, Mr. Rogers." But I'm like, "No, Mr. Rogers is great."
Yeah, yeah.
Teaching, especially those of us who are maybe less well socialized, or some people are shyer or quieter,
yeah,
or less aggressive. I think particularly boys, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a very if you're not one of the boys, it's super aggressive.
Yeah.
I think it's harder. But some of that, like, hey, you don't have to be like Dick from Dick and Jane.
Right.
To see Dick run. See, you know, Dick is a sports star.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he flies a plane and he's a macho man and
right.
smokes unfiltered Camels. You don't have
and
to be.
And drives a big ass diesel truck.
Exactly. With testicles on it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
oh, yeah.
So I definitely think that's cool. I think. The fact that we're more that people have a consciousness about some of those things,
yeah,
is a good thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we've gone too far the other direction. It's
yeah.
like, come on, man.
I mean,
don't be butthurt over every single little.
Oh, I know. Thing. I know.
So,
yeah, you're right. I mean, back in the day, you know, Don Rickles would make fun of everybody. And, you know, Richard Pryor was really vulgar back in the 70s.
Oh,
and
super vulgar.
And everybody was like, oh, my God, like clutching the pearls. And, like, yeah. He was so over the top. But, I mean, it's actually allowed now where you're just the fact that you can cuss about something. It's not ridiculed at all, and there's
no, it's
there's
expected.
Not a lot
it's
of
like, it's like a problem if you don't like
yeah.
you get labeled as a clean comedian or something
oh,
like
I know.
That, or as like they're worried that you're like some overly religious person or something,
yeah.
and it's like
yeah,
it's dumb. To me, it's like maybe I see cases where it's like a spice spices. Things up or helps like mm-hmm. make it punchier or whatever.
Yeah.
When it's like not expected or when whatever, it can be humorous, right? Because that's what to me funny is like something that's humorous is like this didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or I thought it was going to go here, but it went there.
Yeah.
And you know, just the kind of
yeah.
The left turn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a form of delight, like of like delight and surprise, and like, oh my gosh, surprise party, like
yeah,
on a micro,
mm-hmm.
on a micro scale.
Wow. Well, I mean, even Seinfeld was saying that you shouldn't have to cuss to be funny.
Yeah.
And you know, I dare I say Bill Cosby didn't cuss either.
No, once in a while, like he did a. He did this bit, and it was a lot of this album went into the Cosby Show because it was about fatherhood and everything.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he had, this is the early 80s, and so his kids, you know, were probably like, you know, I'm going to say at that time, like teenagers to early 20s or younger, right?
Yeah, I had a Bill Cosby album when I was a kid, yeah.
And you know, is the one with the chocolate cake mix? And,
yeah, that's
exactly.
That's the live stand-up thing that he did in, like, Montreal or somewhere.
Yeah.
Hamilton, Ontario, or where it was,
I think. Was hilarious,
the
right?
The chocolate cake!
Yeah. And it's the one where he gets the scene that they do with Theo Huxtable.
Oh.
Theo Huxtable. Cliff and Theo on the Cosby Show were
yeah.
like, hey, you're going to have a girlfriend? Boom. No more money. Right?
Oh,
like, he was doing the thing like, I yeah. want to move out. And we get a motorcycle. And they're going back and forth like on trying to outwit each other about
yeah.
how much money he's going to end up, how are we going to live on that? And he's like, I got $200. Like, okay, well, you know, $30 of that's taxes. Give me $30. And he's like, well, blah, 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 blah. And he goes like, and it gets down to the end, and he's still got like $40.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, neener neener, dad." And he goes, "You gonna have a girlfriend?" He says, "Of course." And he goes, "Snoop." And takes the last $40. It was, but anyways, yeah,
yeah.
In that one, he's talking about, you know, everybody's talking about cocaine, and cocaine's really big. And
are we talking Chappelle now, or
no? We're talking
Cosby.
And he's like, and I'm talking to this guy, and he's like, you know, why are you doing why are you doing this?
Right.
Right? And he's talking like the whole thing, like people having hangovers and everything, and he gets onto cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, why are you guys doing this? He's like, well, just like, I don't know. It just like, it just intensifies your personality.
Oh.
And Cobb says, but what if you're an asshole?
Oh, jeez.
This is one of the few times I hear him swear.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, true.
Interesting, interesting.
He's out.
Is he really?
They freed him.
Oh, that's right. That they did free him.
Technicality, I guess.
Oh, man.
But it sure does sound like he did all those things, which is just, man, heart.
Yeah.
That is, I got to say.
We saw him in person once.
Yeah.
We saw him at the Cache Creek.
There's just certain people. Him, I was so disappointed with the OJ situation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of other guys who've had kind of spectacular falls.
Mm.
Those two come to mind because they're such mega, mega guys.
Yeah.
But it's like, who didn't love OJ?
Oh, my God.
OJ was like an... I mean, people... It's, I try to explain to my kids, like... Everybody loved OJ.
Mm-hmm. I tried to explain that to Mr. Producer, and he sort of like didn't understand. I mean, he was the spokesperson for Hertz Rent-A-Car.
Yeah.
Back in the late 70s, early 80s, if I have that correct.
Yeah, yeah.
He was seen jumping over cars.
Yeah.
And he was in the Naked Gun movies.
Exactly. Where he like, and the whole thing in the Naked Gun movie kind of reinforced his like likability, lovability, because he was always getting injured. Like something horrible was always happening to him. Yeah. He's like recovering. Mm-hmm. And for some reason they have him at the top of a grandstand.
Yeah.
At a ballpark or something. And then of course like
the wheelchair goes down
and he's tumbling and everything. Just stupid, stupid stuff. But and I remember like playing I think it was it was one of the Bills Super Bowls, but like when they first started doing the like, hey, as part of our pregame show, we're going to play each other on a video game.
Right? Oh, really?
And it was, you know, they probably played Madden or something.
Wow.
Back in, you know, and he was the Bills. He was playing against somebody who was the Cowboys or whatever. And it's like, he just seemed like such a fun, likable, cool guy.
Yeah.
And lo and behold.
You know, I think people are angry about that just because they had such a high esteem opinion of him.
Oh, I think that's exactly.
And they're so angry that he went bad or that he turned bad and did all those horrible things.
Yeah.
Jeez, that still boggles my mind.
What, really?
The spectacle of it. Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was, what, speaking of the spectacle, what really surprised me is, I remember my memory. I think it was 26 or so years ago. Like 27, 96.
Yeah.
I think the verdict was like 96. I think
you're right. Yeah.
I think the verdict was in 96. And, but like just like talking with guys at work and whatnot, and it was like, the general feeling I got was the women. I didn't meet a single woman who thought he was innocent. I did not meet a single woman.
Yeah,
black, white, Asian,
really?
Mexican,
really,
that thought, he's guilty as sin. Right.
Yeah.
And most of the guys I knew were kind of like, you know, 60-40, like. He did it. No, he didn't do it. He couldn't have done it. It's OJ. You know, I mean, like people wanting, and I wanted to believe it was like, I'm like, it was Cato. Kalen. It had to be him. He had the blah, blah, blah. He's like setting OJ up. Like in my mind, I had to rationalize.
Yeah.
And then the verdict comes out and it's like a black white thing. And I'm like, it just blew my, I mean, I didn't work with a lot of black people.
Yeah.
But yeah, a good friend of mine who was black. We you know, always talk about football and everything. OJ would come up, and it's like, I think we were both kind of like, he did it. I hope he didn't do it, but it sure looks like he did it. Maybe it was Kate. Like coming with like some theories. Like people were coming, guys were coming up with all these theories about how like,
oh, it could have been Mark Furman, the detective. It could have been whoever, just not OJ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it comes out and it's like, oh, no, it's black and white. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I just kind of blew my... I guess I don't think... I just didn't think in those terms.
Mm, man. Well, I lived in L.A. when that all happened.
Oh, man.
And just listening to the... I mean, I was a huge talk radio fan, still am. You know, I listened... That was like my first few years of listening to KFI radio in L.A. And they had this this radio show. It was John and Ken from like 3 to 7. And they were full on against OJ. And they were, he's guilty, you know, he's all this stuff.
Norm McDonald.
And yeah. And then the show after that, it was the Stephanie Miller show. And I used to listen to her, and she was a comedian. And she did these bits called stand-up news. And they would make these bits with her producers and stuff, and they would sort of comically sort of reenact what happened in court that day. And it was hilarious listening to that stuff. And it was just like a full-on soap opera happening in full view for the world to see.
Oh, yeah.
And all the players, I mean, you had stuff going on with the Jay Leno show, and Saturday Night Live did stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was just crazy, because it was like the first huge trial that Court TV broadcast on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was huge.
It was really one at the beginning of the 20, towards the early part of the 24-hour news.
Oh, right? It was. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, CNN really started out with the Gulf War.
Yeah.
It was like, it's on every night, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on day or night, rather. And it's just Wolf Blitzer and Bernard Shaw.
Yeah.
Hiding in a closet in Iraq.
Oh, my God. In Baghdad, right?
Exactly.
Oh. But, I mean, that was pretty good, I guess. It was like
exciting
stuff going on. But OJ was, I mean, so the verdict. So I saw. Did you see the
FX movie?
The
People versus
OJ Simpson with like OJ. It was Cuba Gooding Jr., John Travolta, and
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, and David Schwimmer. David Schwimmer was in it. And he played the Kardashian guy.
Oh, I don't think OJ could have done it, do you? He was just like, oh gosh.
I know.
Come on, Ross.
Yeah,
come on,
I know. Ross. Let's go, man. It's like OJ was in Kim Kardashian's bedroom or something last night, and she was like 4 years old or something like that. Oh, it's crazy. But, you know, it was... I mean, I remember where I was when the verdict came out, and... I was going to school at Cal Poly Pomona, and we were all sort of gathered in this sort of irrigation warehouse or something. Because it was during the class I was taking, irrigation, and the radio was on. And so my whole class, which could have been 15 or 20 people with my professor, and the verdict came out, and everybody went, oh, you know, and it was like, the guy missed the layup in the final seconds of the game, like, or whatever.
Oh,
And the world just went, oh, you know. And they did that thing at the end of the miniseries, just like, where were you when the verdict came out? And they showed this clip of like Times Square with people looking up and like, oh gosh, what's happening? You know, and oh man, that was a really big turning point.
That was a big cultural, turning point.
I mean, California set the tone for the whole country or the whole world,
The Norm McDonald thing. Well, it's official. California is murder is now legal in California. It's like,
God. Yeah. And I've mentioned several times on this podcast, right, that I saw Norm Macdonald play golf at a course I played at, and he was playing golf with Cato Kaelin. And it was like right after the OJ thing happened.
I sent you the thing I was watching, because I've been watching Norm Macdonald clips still.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
No.
And it was like charity thing, right?
Oh, you know? Okay. And okay.
He would have got $1 million if he you know, stop, and he would have got $1 million because he's like, I think it's the Greenbrier Hotel or whatever was the answer.
Okay.
But
okay.
His guest, he's an audience guest.
Yeah.
Was Cato Kaelin.
Oh, get and I'm out like, here.
Oh my gosh, that's too much. That is too freaking much.
That's
man.
Funny.
Well, they were nice. I mean, I saw Cato first because I was working at this golf course. They were finishing up at the 18th hole. And I look at it, and I was like checking greens for dry spots and stuff. And so I see him in this golf cart, and I look at him. I'm like, hey, you're Cato. And he said, hey, how you doing? You know?
Yeah.
And then Norm, I think, I don't know if they were sharing a cart or if they were both in their separate carts. I don't know. But Norm was sort of coming up behind him, I think. Well, obviously in a different cart. And I said, hey, how you doing? Hey, dude. You know? And it was fun to see them.
Yeah. How tall? Is he fairly tall? Norm MacDonald
was
skinny?
I think he was. Oh, he was skinny. Yeah.
Skinny back then.
Skinny. And Cato had the long blonde hair and...
Yeah.
And sort of...
Beach bum.
Beach bum guy, sort of...
He's just like professional couch surfer, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What do you do for a living? I... live at other people's houses.
Yeah, and I, you know,
their guest
like,
houses.
Oh yeah, yeah, live in people's houses. And like, what does he do now? And it's like, oh man, I don't
dude.
Know.
I gotta ask Uncle Google what Cato Kaelin's doing.
Okay, just like no copyright infringement stuff, please.
Oh yeah, no.
But yeah, it was just so weird. And then he's like, I'm gonna search for the real killers.
Oh yeah.
After the verdict happened, and like. And then did Norm MacDonald say something like that? Like, if I win this $1 million, I'm gonna help OJ find the real killer or something no, like no. that.
He might. He may have.
Oh my god. Process. Oh man.
But oh,
crazy.
Yeah. What is he known for? Serving as a witness in OJ career. What the heck? House guest. He's just like done nothing.
Oh, really?
Second American system. He was a house guest in the second American season of the reality show competition Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh, wow. But just he does he own a home? Does he live in Malibu or something and go serve it every day?
Best friends from Norm with Norm MacDonald from mid 2000 to mid 2001, according to MacDonald's The Norm Show co-star Artie Lang.
Oh, wow.
He was even getting a guest role on the show. He and MacDonald had a falling out that ended their friendship.
Really?
Yeah, I knew they were tight for a while.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that they were tight.
I have a feeling that Norm was a deeper person than Cato.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally.
The hounds. The hounds are looking up here. They want to be on the show.
Oh, hello, hounds.
Hello, hounds. The hounds. Hello. Release the hounds.
Hello. Release the hounds. So where were you when the OJ verdict came out?
I was at work.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of them. I worked for an IT company that did, you know, kind of like what I do now, but I was technical then. I'm a manager now.
Oh, okay.
And we did support for another, like, I work for Company A, and we were on site at Company B doing support
For them. Right? Okay.
And
online like infrastructure support.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Desktops and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so there, I can't remember her name. I remember one of them, there was the department head's name was Melanie, the customer.
Yeah.
And the, her secretary's name, administrative assistant's name was Sylvia. I can't remember. It was Hispanic. I can't remember. Gonzalez? Anyways, she always ate pickles. She always had pickled ginger at her desk.
Oh, really? That's cool.
You know, a little pickled ginger, like for sushi, right? Just like pickled gingers.
There you go.
Whatever. She just ate it.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I love pickled ginger.
Yeah.
Anyways, we were like there listening to her radio when it came through, and she was like, oh, she was definitely upset. But then there was a guy I worked with, Andrew something or other, and he was a big Steelers fan.
Oh.
And he was so angry that OJ got let go. He was livid.
Yeah.
And that's when I noticed, like, and that's what kind of, when I first started seeing it being like more of a black-white thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Mm.
But OJ. We spent a lot of time talking about OJ. OJ has been talked about so much in the last 30 years.
He really has. And, you know, I mean, I was remembering something that you said when you were talking about when you heard about the verdict. And what happened after I heard the verdict was with this John and Ken show is one of the co-hosts, John Cobelt, just went off on a tear. Yeah. And I can't remember. I wish that they would dig up the footage of him ranting about what he thought of the verdict, because it was like biblical what he was talking about.
Oh yeah,
and it was this guy just being unhinged, and he was just like talking about how horrible everything is getting, and just like the society, the tone for society has really gone down a notch, kind of thing. It's just like the I don't know if it's dumbing down of society or something like that.
The corruption of it, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
I mean, just that with enough
money,
you can get away with something, and with enough stupid, essentially, racist people on the jury who are they like the fact that they kept trying to get like certain, you know, ethnic makeup on the jury. It's like, I don't know. I mean, unbelievable. Like, yeah, his bloody footprints are all over the place.
Yeah.
It was so stupid when they had him try the gloves on.
Oh, that was the dumbest thing. Yeah.
Judge Ito never should have allowed that. Like,
should have
had someone say, like, let's get a forensic expert to talk about what happens to these gloves. Like, oh, they don't fit. I'm like,
yeah, they shrink down.
I could pretend I can't put my foot inside a sock or something if I want to. Like, oh, doesn't fit. Like,
yeah.
Have somebody else put that on him.
Right. And he had gloves on, too. The plastic rubber gloves.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So,
yeah, I mean, right?
Oh, man.
So.
It's scary. Scary, like, thinking about that stuff.
Crazy
stuff.
Crazy. So, yeah, money and stupidity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it happened after the LA riots happened, like the year before, or the couple years before.
Yeah, 92.
And that was, I'm thinking that it was sort of.
There's definitely that was in everybody's mind.
Was it payback for the LA riots when those cops got off?
There was definitely that element of our. I guess I didn't. There was this element of, he gets convicted, the black people will riot. Because OJ wasn't highly, at the time, OJ wasn't highly respected in the black community.
He was
seen as having abandoned
his
roots and become too white or whatever. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I do remember they redecorated his house for the jury.
Oh, really?
It was in the People versus OJ.
That's
right. They went in and put a bunch of like African art and stuff up in his house.
They did.
Because they didn't want to inflame the prejudices of the black jurors, right? That he was some sort of Uncle Tom or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And
wow.
That he'd forgotten his own.
Wow.
Wow. And, you know, he was from that era, like, where you didn't go back a lot, you know. That's a more recent developer, like, oh yeah, I'm going back to the hood, the block, to the whatever. And like, nope, you left the hood and you got out and you didn't go back.
Wow.
Right. I mean, there's same thing with poor white people from Appalachia or, you know, the Ozarks or whatever. And it's like, sometimes you kind of like keep that in your heart and go back, and a lot of times they don't.
Yeah.
Forgot where they came from.
Oh, I know. And one other thing I'll add is that when I was living down there, I would take a little drive down to West LA and try to see where the house was.
Which and, hers or his?
Well, where the murder happened.
Oh yeah.
And I think it was called
Brentwood. Right?
Brentwood. On Rockingham Drive or something.
Rockingham is where he lived, I think.
Oh right.
I think he lived at Rockingham,
and I can't remember the street that it happened at, but they had this huge K-wall. It was a K-wall in front of the street because on Sunset, I think there was a street. I think it directly linked with Sunset or some main thoroughfare, whatever it was down there. And they had a huge, you know, K-wall that you would see in the middle of a freeway or whatever.
Yeah, with the median. Kind of the diamond, not yes. the triangular shaped little thing, right?
Yeah, and it was a heat. It was like a piece of concrete that people, you know, you weren't allowed to drive on that street anymore, and you know they literally blocked off traffic for people to stop coming and looking at the house and looking at the murder scene or whatever.
Wow,
and it was crazy. Just like,
who can you believe the person? Somebody lives there now, right?
Oh yeah,
somebody's gonna live there.
Yeah,
and somebody's gonna live in OJ's old house.
Yeah, yeah.
That would weird me out, man. Like you're like in the backyard, like power washing the concrete. You're like, you know what? At one point, somebody power washed all of Nicole Brown Simpson's and Ron Goldman's blood off this concrete or whatever. Please. Right?
That gives me chills right now.
Just
freaking
knowing
chills.
Somebody was murdered. In an apartment, murdered there?
Well, there was a murder down close to my house a few months ago.
I just think there's some...
Oh, that's scary.
People dying. I know. Like one thing that became like a rule you had to... Like in the late 80s when... I think it was... I remember reading an article. I don't know if it was an accurate article or not, but it was in the Mercury News, late 80s, and it was like... They were changing real estate rules that we had to divulge whether somebody had died in the house.
Oh, right.
Because a lot of, and I think there was Asian folks were coming and buying houses and whatnot. For them, that was a material thing.
Right.
Like, hey, somebody died here. There's bad juju or whatever, right? Whereas, like, from the average, like, you know, Anglo, like, oh, whatever. You know, people die in houses all the time.
Yeah.
So... It's to me that like somebody died in the house, like doesn't really bother me, but they're murdered.
Oh,
that's different.
Good Lord.
In my mind.
That's crazy.
Yikes.
Scary.
So I hope my sports ball team does well today.
Yeah, me too. I've always loved the Arizona Cardinals helmets. I've always loved that. In the last episode I did, I saw the St. Louis Cardinals play the 49ers in a preseason game. I think it was beginning of the 82 season at Candlestick Park.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow, they were still the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, they were.
They probably had
could have been
Jim Hart or Neil Lomax.
It was Neil Lomax.
Neil Lomax.
Number 15 with the Cardinals.
Yeah, Neil Lomax was going to be the next Joe Montana there for a while. He had an amazing 86, 87 season. Like,
wow.
I remember people saying, like, oh, he's the next Joe Montana.
Right? Wow.
He's like a slightly younger Joe Montana. He's like 3 or 4 years younger than Joe Montana. They're like, oh, yeah, they got... But maybe the 49... And Joe Montana was having some injury problems. Like, maybe they should trade for Neil Lomax.
Oh, jeez. Well, it was the year after they won their first Super Bowl, the 49ers, and they had a horrible year.
Yeah, strike shortened 82 season.
Yeah. They didn't even make the playoffs.
Joe Theismann and the Washington Redskins made the playoffs, and they beat Don Shula and his Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, that was Super Bowl 17 at the Rose Bowl.
At the Rose Bowl with John Riggins, the Diesel.
John Riggins.
The Diesel.
That was cool. One more football question.
Okay.
Did you watch the football game, Monday Night Football, when the Giants played the Redskins?
And Joe Theismann's leg got broken by
Lawrence Taylor. Oh, did you see that?
Oh, I did not see it. I watched it later.
Oh, man. I saw that. I was watching that with my dad. And when that happened, that was the most gruesome thing I'd ever seen.
And they showed it over and over and over.
Yeah.
And I remember like LT like immediately pulled up. He's like, get over here, get over here.
Yeah. Yeah. I broke this man's leg.
Dude.
Oh. Oh. Good God, that was bad.
Oh, is Joe Theismann still in broadcasting?
He's got a formidable force amongst him. He's fairly confident with what he does. I think he does.
I think he's still there.
He's like the only quarterback I've ever seen that only had one bar on the face mask.
It's because he was also a punter, I think.
Really?
Oh, he and Danny White were both punters.
Yeah, I remember Danny White being a punter.
White was a Joe Theismann.
He had a cool name and a big full head of hair.
Danny White.
No, Joe Theismann.
Oh, yeah. He's still got a full thick head of hair.
Man, Joe Theismann. He was a big deal back then.
Is he still broadcasting?
Number 7 with the Redskins.
Redskins.
And we're calling them Redskins on the Gen X Talk Show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They were, because they were the Redskins.
The Redskins.
The Redskins. Yeah, I can't. It doesn't say like what he's doing.
He could be in his 70s maybe.
Oh yeah, he's definitely 70, like 72 now.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Which means he was in his 30s then, right? So mm-hmm. I mean, like 40 years ago, he was 32.
Yeah.
So
I met an NFL player a few weeks ago.
Oh, who was that?
It was Ron Fellows. He played for the Dallas Cowboys back in the early 80s. He also played for the Raiders.
Okay.
And I saw him on this putting green at this course nearby.
Did you recognize him?
No. Okay. I felt like I was a bit rude. Like, there's a sort of etiquette that you have to follow on the putting green. Like, if you see somebody going to a hole in the green, you sort of abstain from going to that same hole, and you sort of look for another hole to go to on the green.
There are multiple holes on the green?
Yeah, this is the practice green.
Okay.
The practice green is, you got a bunch of holes on there. It's just practice.
Okay.
So what happened was that, let me turn myself up. I can't hear myself. The thing is that he went to the hole. I went to the hole and sort of didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And then he was being, I don't know if he had a handler or something like that, or somebody that knew who he was. And I don't know if they were having this sort of NFL retired sports thing, figure tournament, whatever. And I said to this handler guy, I said, "Hey, was that guy a football player?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, did he play in the NFL?" "Yes, he did." That's Ron Fellows of the Dallas Cowboys. He was in, I think the guy told me that he was on the field during the catch. So he was covering, gosh,
Freddie Solomon.
Was it Freddie Solomon, number 88?
Freddie Solomon, right?
Yeah.
Freddie Solomon.
Oh, 49 was Earl Cooper. And 88 was Freddie Solomon. But then the other guy, Everson Walls, was covering Dwight Clark,
yeah.
And so he was on the field when that happened. And so I shook his hand, you know, took a picture with him. It was really fun. Really fun to meet him. And he was really cool, really gracious guy. And the guy looked really young. Man, he looked young.
Yeah.
Just like, man, he didn't look an age over. He didn't look like he was a day over 32 years old, but he could have been like late 60s, maybe early 70s.
Yeah, I mean, if he's playing then, he's probably, depending on whether he was early or late in his career, he's at least 60 now.
Yeah. So I love meeting people like that, and just like sports figures and stuff like that. So
it's kind of fun seeing him meeting people.
Yeah.
I went with my roommate in 1990.
Yeah.
The summer. It might have been the summer of 90. No, it was 90. 90, 91 in there. Might have been the fall of 90.
Yeah.
It was fall of 90. And she went to this sporting goods store.
Oh, really?
Or a memorabilia. It was like a... it might have been like a baseball card store.
Whatever. Oh, really?
And she went there to have something signed by Dwight Clark.
Oh, really?
And she was just in love with Dwight Clark.
Oh,
yeah, because he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah,
he was a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And he had that slight Southern accent on, right?
I didn't know that.
And just very, very slight country or Southern. I think it was Southern.
Wow.
And I'll never forget how humongous that dude's hands were.
Really?
Because I was like accompanying her.
Yeah.
And we stood in line outside, like we lined up like in front of Lucky's.
Yeah.
On Saratoga Avenue.
Wow.
And like over the thing, like, oh, and she's like, Dwight. And I'm like, his hands like had 4 extra knuckles on them. It's like,
oh man.
Like, no, I mean. The catch was a little less impressive after that.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I had done that and caught it with these little
mm-hmm.
pea shooters, that would have been
that'd have been a feat.
Yeah.
But when you've got like freaking gargantuan baseball mitt, like, I don't know how big the guy's hands were.
Yeah.
They were at least 10 inches of like finger to.
Oh my gosh.
Humongous.
Wow.
Humongous hands.
Good Lord.
Choke a horse.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. That's cool. Well, no wonder. No wonder they call it the catch, because had a guy with big hands.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is. Dude.
And that he jumped in midair.
He leapt for that thing.
He leapt it up and he caught it in midair and then landed. And he's like arcing.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, and then Montana rolls out to the right.
I know. And Ed Too Tall Jones is chasing him.
Really? Yeah.
Ed Too Tall Jones.
Ed
Too Tall. He just passed recently, I think.
He was like 7'2", that guy.
He was humongous. He was like 6'9", 6'10", at least.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, let's look at how tall Ed Too Tall Jones.
Number 72 with the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Ed Too Tall Jones.
Oh, man. Good gosh.
6'9".
Really? Yeah. Man.
And he was one of those guys that had the shaved head and beard thing going on back in the day.
Oh, yep, that's the guy.
Yeah, no, man, he was...
That's the guy.
He was a fearsome... Well, he didn't have it back in the day. He was balding, but he went that route afterwards.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, man. Ed Too Tall Jones.
Man, there's doesn't get more Gen X than talking about NFL football in the 80s.
Yeah.
Because that's when football was great, right?
Oh, I really think it was the toughest that it's ever been in terms of the, at least for quarterbacks.
Right.
At least for quarterbacks.
Right.
The 80s was the peak.
Really?
Because you had to be able to take absolute physical abuse, like tremendous physical abuse.
Yeah.
If they got to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you got rid of the ball. You're still taking a hit.
Oh, I know.
You're still taking a hit. They're leaving with their helmet. They're slamming you to the ground.
Yeah.
No matter what. They all... The turf... This is like in the, you know, the 80s.
Yeah.
AstroTurf was still, you know, a new... Within 15 years or so of being... And it was just like on concrete.
Concrete. Yeah.
On concrete.
And they had the turf toe issue.
Yeah. Right?
Mm.
And then... Mm. They... It was, and then they started introducing rules. Really, it was Tim Harris's sacking of Jim McMahon.
Oh!
Tim Harris, the Green Bay Packers, sacked Jim McMahon and picked him up like a garbage man.
Oh, wow.
Like a garbage can, and just dumped him like a pile driver. Like, like a wrestling pile driver.
Yeah.
Just like a pile drove him into the ground.
Oh, my God. And it's like Soldier Field on the AstroTurf. Good Lord. Just,
right? And it's like everything's breaking.
Mm.
I don't care who you are.
Mm.
Right? Mm. And so they start introducing more and more and more.
Yeah.
And then they ultimately, in the last, you know, after the movie came out with Will Smith about the chronic.
I still haven't seen that.
I haven't seen it either.
Oh, wow.
No helmet to helmet, which is I think it's a good thing. But what I'm saying is, like, yeah, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. I get it statistically and championship wise, he's untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
But you can make a case that he is the GOAT, GOTE, greatest of that era.
Oh, okay.
Greatest of the era he played in, right?
Okay.
That's what I would say.
All right.
Is he's the greatest of the era he played in, because you Norm Van Brocklin or Sammy Baugh from the 40s or 50s, it's like, how can you compare that guy to Joe Montana?
Exactly. Right? And those guys were quarterbacks you just mentioned?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, you know, Johnny Unitas.
Unitas, yeah.
And
Y.A.
Tittle.
Bart Starr. Y.A. Tittle. Yeah.
Those guys in the 60s, right? It's like... hard to compare those even to the guys in the 80s. So I think with certain rule changes and whatnot, it's really hard. So they're all-time greats.
Those guys were tough.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio?
I would like to do that.
I would appreciate that too.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I don't want to see Ray Lewis's thing though. I hate Ray Lewis.
Oh, you do?
I despise Ray Lewis.
Mm.
Despise.
He's the reason why I don't like the Ravens, I think.
He's them and beating my 49ers is why I don't like him. But
Well, man, that was a really interesting era, and I love thinking about that, because that was the days when, like, Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen were doing the football for NBC, and it was Pat Summerall and John Madden with CBS.
Yep.
And my friend and I love theme music for stuff, and there was the CBS Sports intro. Oh,
dude, with the robots, the kind of laser robot guys.
Yeah.
Oh man, those were so cool.
Jimmy the Greek Snyder.
Oh my god, yeah. And Irv Cross. And Brent Musburger. You are looking live at Soldier Field in Chicago. Oh man, that was cool. That was cool. And then they had Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell and Deardorff and Frank Gifford.
Yeah, Howard Cosell left, and they brought in Deardorff.
Yeah.
Al Michaels.
Jeez. And then there was another guy.
So they had like a rotating thing through the 70s and into the 80s. So like Gifford was there the whole time.
Don Meredith.
Dandy Don Meredith was a color guy. For a while they had, remember the, what was her name, Jacqueline Kennedy?
Oh.
Jackie Kennedy. She's a black gal.
She was gorgeous. Beautiful. Gorgeous.
Ah. And she I remember seeing an interview with her years later, and she's like, she's the first Monday Night Football. She's very nervous, right?
Mm.
And it's like, you know, she's a woman doing sports, which is like unheard of then, right?
Yeah.
Plus, she's a black woman, so it's like there's still like plenty of real racism left at that point. Like, I don't want to see no black lady on my TV or whatever, geez. Right? That type of stuff.
Get out of here.
So whatever. So she's like super nervous.
Yeah.
And they're doing Monday Night Football in the... at the Minnesota stadium, the Metro Dome.
Yeah.
The Metro Dome.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, okay, you know, at least you know the weather forecast. One thing that we won't have today is snow, right?
Mm.
Well, apparently you can get snow inside a stadium, and it did snow a little bit.
Really?
Because the humidity, it was very humid inside the building, right? And then you get 60, 70,000 people in that building, all the body heat, right? And that warm, moist air going up.
Yeah.
And it condensed.
Yeah.
I don't know if it condensed into rain or snow, but like they got a little, like they actually got some weather in there.
Oh, and my
gosh.
And
she was saying, she's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. I couldn't even call that right.
Oh, that's funny.
Jacqueline Kennedy, I think it was. And then it was Howard, for a long time, it was Howard Cosell and Frank Gifford.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really watch. I was too young for the Howard Cosell days, other than like.
I think I was
Noah's,
too.
Noah's voice, you know, like.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
This is the part of the show where we talk about people that are dead.
Exactly. And then it was Deardorff was on there for a while. Deardorff and Al Michaels for a long while. And Deardorff was the. I hated Dan Deardorff.
Did you really?
I finally got to the point where I was like, oh, okay, I can deal with the guy. He, it was a New England Patriots game against the 49ers, and he was on CBS at the time.
Really?
And he goes, just a lot of missed opportunities for the 49ers. Just so many missed. And there was such hatred in the league for the 49ers in the 80s. Those guys hated the 49ers. There always has been an East Coast bias.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious.
There's always been a bias against West Coast teams, I feel like.
Hmm.
And I think they really resented the success the 49ers had.
Wow.
They hated that West Coast offense where they used the short passing game as a substitute for running. They felt like, you know, like, it's not real football.
And that's what Bill Walsh sort of pioneered back then.
I
have no idea of the plays, but I'm thankful that you're there to explain it. Wow.
So,
interesting.
He was just hating on the Niners. And I was like, screw that guy.
Well, he played for the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals. And he was a defensive person or offense?
I think he was guard.
A guard, really. He was a big guy.
He was a big guy, big mustache, man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, the mustache.
Yeah, and a great name, Deardorff.
Deardorff. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know you're like, that's a good tough guy name.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
I mean, I remember seeing... I love to find like old intros of the Monday Night Football... music, and I actually found one, and there was a game that they were doing. It could have been like the last Monday night game of the season. It was the New England Patriots against the Miami Dolphins, and they were down at the Orange Bowl in Miami
before that was Joe Robbie Stadium.
It was like the last game of the season, and he resented the fact that that players were sort of calling it in and not really putting all that much effort into it. And they actually, he was talking about how the families of these players would be waiting for the players to be finished with the game so they can all go home.
Yeah.
Instead of, let's win one for our city. Yeah. And our fan base and our organizers, whatever.
Yeah.
And just like, let's put a lot of effort into it instead of what he's actually observing out there was guys phoning it in.
Yeah. There was a big
and I don't know if that was post-strike or pre-strike or whatever.
And that was Dierdorf saying that?
Dierdorf saying that, yeah.
I mean, those guys, they, you know, the older boomer type guys were like, yeah, they played football not to be rich and famous.
Right.
They played football because they love to play football.
Yeah.
And they sacrificed a ton. Like, you didn't... the richest quarterback of all time, richest player of all time, and he was a quarterback, was Roger Staubach.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not through contract money, obviously, playing in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
But you had to have a side job, right? When it was offseason,
you
were out doing something.
Right.
You had to go do something to make some money because you couldn't have a family or take care of yourself even on football salary, right?
Yeah.
And so...
Wow.
He sold real estate.
Oh, really?
He sold real estate, and he cut in on like the Dallas real estate, Texas real estate market in the 70s before it just exploded.
Oh, my gosh.
Name recognition, articulate guy.
Yeah. Good-looking dude.
Good-looking, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Veteran.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I mean, he has like Captain America, they call him.
Yeah,
Captain
America. Really? So
this dude's selling real estate, and it's like, he just made tons of money.
Who wouldn't want to buy a house from Roger Staubach?
Yeah, I wouldn't, because he's a cowboy.
The cowboys.
Buy it from the real number eight, Steve Young. No, so my buddy and I always go back and forth.
Oh, with Troy Aikman and stuff?
Troy Aikman. Roger Staubach was 12. Roger Staubach was 12. And then we'd go back and forth about the real number
eight. Danny White was 11. Troy Aikman was 8.
8. Dak Prescott is 4.
4.
What was Romo?
9.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
9.
9. Here we go, Jim.
Gosh. Romo was actually a pretty good commentator.
Really?
You listen to him? He's actually pretty good. Right.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty good. And he's done a really good job of calling. He's a smart football guy.
He
really
that's cool.
is. He really is. Just turned out to be a little bit too fragile.
Yeah.
And maybe forcing a few balls, but he did a pretty good does a pretty good job commentating.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I never was into that. I mean, I didn't listen to... I mean, I remember Joe Starkey saying, "Touchdown, 49ers!"
Joe Starkey.
Was Joe he great? Starkey.
Yeah, man.
Mm. It was such a... I mean, take any favorite team of the era, and you're like, what's the Hall of Fame radio guy going to do? What... How do you remember a moment? I mean, you don't... First of all, do you listen to the game on the radio or watch it on TV?
Right. Ones you'd want to listen to it on the radio. So you had Lon Simmons.
Oh, okay.
Lon Simmons, and then Joe Starkey. Joe Starkey's one was Owens!
Really? Right?
When Owens caught... Owen had a 98 playoffs against the... it was 99. It was like January 99.
Wow.
The Packers had knocked the Niners out in 95,
oh,
in 96,
whoa,
in 97.
Whoa.
And, you know, it's the 98 season, wild card game, or divisional round, whatever, home against the Packers. These guys have knocked the Niners out the last 3 years in a row.
Wow.
And more than the Cowboys had, right?
Yeah.
And the Cowboys only did it like 2 times in a row.
Wow.
And Owens dropped like a bunch of balls. He like dropped like a had a touchdown go through his hand. He had a terrible game. He dropped so much, and he was like their number one receiving threat at that point.
Yeah.
He's in his prime.
Wow,
Rice
really?
Is winding down.
Oh, right? Really?
Rice
yeah.
is still there,
yeah.
but
Jerry Rice.
And that's why that was such a like he why he the you know in the you know footage is like him. He catches a touchdown in between those three Packers and just gets like just destroyed. They like bam comes down with the ball.
Wow.
And I don't know how much time, but there wasn't much time left at all.
Mm.
And
he runs over and, you know, is crying to, you know, with Mariucci and hugging him and everything. And it's like, it was that emotional.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Speaking of those Packers, you remember, I guess it was the Brett Favre era.
Yeah.
The guy that hiked him the ball, the center for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
His name was Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan? Wasn't Jeff Saturday?
No, it wasn't.
Jeff Saturday was his guard or tackle.
No, but I went to junior high school with Mike Flanagan.
You went to...
He's from Sacramento.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, and I went to school with him, and I didn't have a friendship with him or anything, but what was interesting about him is that every winter, the 2 years that I went there, he would always wear shorts during the winter. And I don't know if that was sort of hardening him up to be a football player kind of thing.
I always wore shorts. Didn't you wear shorts in the winter when you were a kid?
No.
Oh, I always wore... absolutely
wore
shorts.
Did you really?
I always wore shorts.
Huh. Interesting.
I wear jeans a lot, too, but I mean, I since COVID, dude, I've worn... I haven't worn slacks once.
Wow.
Or, you know, slacks or chinos or whatever. And okay. I've only worn jeans, like...
Yeah. Hmm.
10 times,
maybe. Really? Well, I wore a pair of jeans, and my wife said, you're not wearing those in public again, so your get
Wrangler.
Rid of them. Oh, yeah.
Wrangler.
Those are your daddy jeans. Crunchers. Get rid of them.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Sorry to... Remember, do I name drop too much? I'm sorry. There
you go. Did you remember going to the mall? Did you have Chess King at the mall when you were a kid?
Was that a store?
Yeah. Chess King.
I don't remember that.
You can go buy your acid wash jeans. Did you ever pair of acid wash jeans?
I think I might have.
I had a pair. I'm ashamed to admit. And I'm even more ashamed to admit. I think they were pleated.
Oh.
Remember when they were making like puffier, like it was.
What does pleated mean again?
Like up at the front, like there's pleats, like extra fabric.
Oh.
Like chinos usually will be like pleated. You can have a flat front or you can have it pleated.
Oh, okay.
I prefer pleated.
Okay. Is that to like for your pelvis size or something?
Exactly.
Oh. Your
girth. Oh, or whatever. Girth. No, I don't know. But I mean, it just makes it look a little sharper, I think.
Okay.
But
that's cool.
Anyways.
Well, we're into this about an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
How about that, huh?
That's very good.
Well, I have to say that this has been a good comeback episode.
Absolutely. Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah,
we've been here for years.
We've been here for years. Anyway, any final thoughts?
No. Looking forward. We're gonna watch some church online,
yeah. And then did we miss it already? Or
no, just whatever. It's the YouTube. We'll YouTube something.
Okay.
And then, then I'm gonna go watch some sports ball at my cousin's house.
Yeah, that's
Go San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, football.
Go Fortiners.
And
$15 beers.
$15 beers. And they might have, it's down in Arizona today, so that'll be good.
It might be. They might have $15 Metamucils down there Arizona with all the retired people.
Yes, you're right. Here. Yeah.
It's your fiber.
Well, anyway, thanks for listening, folks. I'm Johnny Pendejo.
I'm Starchy Archie.
And you have just listened to an episode of the Gen X Talk podcast. We do have an Instagram page in case you're interested in following us on our whatever it is we're doing.
There you go.
We're on Instagram. And that's it. Thanks again, folks. Good night.